The one thing that I talk a lot about on my TikTok as well as YouTube is that there is an array of symptoms that every single person who is diagnosed with any thyroid disorder will experience. And not only will the symptoms be different, but the degree to which you experience them will be different. For me personally, I have a very specific memory that I talk about a lot. I remember going to work in the morning, training a few clients, and then I came home for like my afternoon rest. And it was like 2-3 o'clock. And I remember just kind of plummeting on my bed and just at the same time asking myself, like, why do I feel so tired? It didn't make sense to me. I have this very clear memory of that moment. And I was like, I don't understand why I'm so exhausted. I was so drained. It wasn't until later that I also realized I actually did suffer from some symptoms of pretty severe depression. Check, check.
We finally have you in the studio.
Yes. Oh, wait, are we recording?
Yeah. It's all recording. I actually want to start with this ridiculous shirt that you got me. I'm going to put a photo of this in the act for the people watching.
It says Sing by Paul Singh for Paul by Paul Singh in collaboration with Paul Singh for Sing by Paul Singh. I wish this was my idea. It's actually a knockoff Marc Jacobs.
I love it. This is my new favorite t-shirt of all time.
Yeah, this idea just occurred to me when you reposted a post that you posted through your personal post on Facebook.
So for the people watching, you're gonna see the screenshots of all this in the video. So why don't we start with you introducing yourself, the short version of who is Sheba and what does she do and why should people be listening to today's podcast?
Nobody needs to or has to, but my name is Sheba, and I'm so not used to looking at a person and recording. I'm so used to engaging with the camera. So if you see me make eye contact with you, it's just a reflex. So please ignore that. I am a personal trainer by trade, but I make content on social media specific to thyroid health now, because I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, I think in 2016 or early 2017. I don't actually have the exact time stamp. And I wanted answers. That's the sort of person I am. And so I talk a lot about thyroid health. But as a professional, I'm a trainer. And I do want to preface this video too, that if you are watching this, you're struggling with any kind of thyroid issues or any of the symptoms we might cover, just know that I'm not a clinician or a doctor, but all the information that I have shared in the last couple of years has actually come from reading medical research papers and documents and watching lectures online or reading textbooks even.
Yeah, I think, let's put that disclaimer in. This is not any medical advice. We're just sharing our personal journeys. Yes. I'll share some of the stuff that I'm also kind of trying out. This is the quasi Huberman podcast.
It's a wannabe. So Huberman, if you're watching, I'm available in every element. I'm single and I'm ready to mingle on a podcast too. And I'm legal. I'm 38, so it's fine.
Actually, the first thing we should start with is your TikTok currently is blowing up. So do you want to talk a little bit about what topic you're covering there and which one, what kind of content is getting the most views? I think like the last time I saw one of the videos had like almost 700,000 views.
I don't know why I'm getting the attention. I honestly think it was like, if you guys have ever seen Finding Nemo, there's this scene in the movie where they talk about taking this specific current to go to Australia. And it's like as soon as the turtles get swept into the current and Nemo's dad, I forgot his name, Anyways, as soon as they get swept into that current, it just carries them through. And I feel like I kind of got swept into that same current on the TikTok stream, if you will. All I'm trying to do essentially is just simplify all the information I'm reading as if I'm explaining it to someone who's never read anything medical in their life. And when I first became a trainer, it was the same idea. My first boss was like, nobody cares about what you know. You know, people are coming to you because they might find you approachable. They might find you nice. So I'm just kind of talking to everyone as I would as a friend and just sharing, you know, the things that helped me. So originally it was all hypothyroidism based, but now I've been starting to get more requests about hyperthyroidism, PCOS, and I'm starting to now research and share that information also.
I think it would be helpful to first share, you know, why do you actually talk about this topic?
So I have been pretty active, I would say, my entire life. But I got into the fitness industry formally as a trainer around 2007 or 8. And since then, I have really taken it upon myself to understand health and wellness. And my approach was never actually like, you know, do these 5 exercises if you want like a skinny waist. I just wanted to be the strongest motherfucker in every single room. That was always my thing. I don't know why. So I've always wanted to be healthy. But with our dad having had thyroid issues, I always knew that there was going to be some kind of thyroid issue that's going to happen. And so even before it happened, I started taking supplements that I heard were going to help with thyroid health, such as CLA, which is called conjugated linoleic acid, fish oils. I always try to stay on top of all of my supplements. But I think stress for me was one of the triggering factors that actually led to a lot of the snowballing effect of my thyroid not working. And when I went to the doctor, she actually asked me a lot of questions about my emotional and mental health. You know, she's like, are you in a, like, mentally happy? Are you in an abusive relationship? How is your home environment? And that kind of always stayed with me. And so when she originally offered that we can put you on thyroxine, which is essentially a hormone that most patients get put on when they are diagnosed with hypothyroidism, I said, is this going to solve the problem? And she said, it's going to help maintain it. I wasn't looking for maintenance. I was looking for a solution. And so that is when I started to reach out to people. That was my first step. And that was the biggest mistake I made, because I was listening to anyone with no validity to what they were saying. There was no actual valid proof to what they were saying. I was just looking for hope. And that's when I realized I actually wound up doing more harm to my body. I wound up having even more severe symptoms. So I decided to just actually do the research. And when I say research, I mean actually read research papers and documents. And so that's kind of where the whole thing took off, because I started to see results.
By the way, our grandmother also had thyroid.
Yes.
It's actually in our family. Correct. You know, funny that I don't have that issue, but I think it'll be helpful for the audience listening is, what kind of symptoms were you experiencing mentally and physically both?
The one thing that I talk a lot about on my TikTok as well as YouTube is that there is an array of symptoms that every single person who is diagnosed with any thyroid disorder will experience. And not only will the symptoms be different, but the degree to which you experience them will be different. For me personally, I have a very specific memory that I talk about a lot. I remember going to work in the morning, training a few clients, and then I came home for like my afternoon rest, and it was like 2-3 o'clock. And I remember just kind of plummeting on my bed and just at the same time asking myself, like, why do I feel so tired? It didn't make sense to me. I have this very clear memory of that moment. And I was like, I don't understand why I'm so exhausted. I was so drained. It wasn't until later that I also realized I actually did suffer from some symptoms of pretty severe depression. And being in the sort of job, both as a trainer as well as on YouTube, where you're constantly putting forward a very happy face, I started to feel it more and more because it was becoming harder and harder for me to be happy. I also started noticing my hair was falling out. The weight gain was an inevitable. It's something that a lot of people experience. It's the hormones. There was a lot of lethargy, a lot of just mental fatigue. And I found I also did not have my usual stamina in the gym. This is also when I had just, you know, I was on the cusp of doing strongman pretty regularly. So at the time, because there were so many changing elements in my life, I thought maybe it's because I'm lifting like 300, 400, 500 pounds every single week, several times a week. Maybe that's why I'm tired. So then I started eating more. And then that obviously also didn't help the weight. So there were so many things going on. But for me, it was on a lot of different fronts, from emotional, physical, mental, and then obviously the external stuff too.
So wait, is this the time when you were in Sydney?
No, in Oakville.
Oh, this is like, I thought that you were talking about.
So all of these symptoms started when I moved to Canada. So originally, for anyone who's watching, before I had moved here, I was living in Australia for a couple years. So I actually thought it was an environment change because I actually was diagnosed with exercise-induced asthma in Australia. And the doctor informed me it's because of there's so many different species of plants and animals that a lot of people, when they move to Australia, develop new allergies, which I did. So in the first year, I just thought my body was not acclimated to the weather, the water. It was a change in the environment, and maybe that's why all of those things were happening. So I kept kind of pushing it onto all these other things that I thought made more sense.
So when's the first time you actually got it diagnosed and you found out that that's actually the problem and not all these other things that you were assuming they could be?
At the time, my YouTube presence and content creation was not about thyroid health. I was making videos about traveling and how to move to different countries. The content is still up. I didn't take it down. But I was getting hundreds of messages a week where people were calling me fat. I was getting bombarded. I used to do live stream. I used to get bombarded with messages from people saying, how can you be a trainer? You're so fat. You look pregnant. You know, there was a lot of unsolicited feedback about the way I was starting to look. In the beginning, I thought it was just, again, because I was doing strongman, I'm lifting, I thought I'm bulking. You know, I was just in my own little Delulu land about it. But when I started noticing the weight gain was getting out of hand, and my clients would start making comments, people were starting to make lots of inappropriate comments, people were pinching my belly at work with friends, that's when I thought it's a thyroid issue. Because the only thing I knew about thyroid issues at the time was, if you're hypothyroid, you're fat. If you're hyperthyroid, you're skinny. That's it. So I was like, oh, I probably have a thyroid problem because I'm fat now. And I don't mean to use fat in a derogatory way. I mean, like, I had a lot more body fat on me, especially around my midsection, my face. My face is just generally chubby, but I had quite a lot more substance around my face and my abdomen.
Could you just quickly maybe define hypo versus hyper?
Our thyroid is a butterfly-shaped gland that sits in our neck. And it's mostly responsible for our metabolism. And that's a really simple way of looking at it. But it's actually, when we look at metabolism in the larger scope, like biologically, it means the metabolism of a lot of different functions in our body. So hypothyroid essentially means that the thyroid is slowing down. So imagine you have a building and there is like a secretary sitting at the front desk. when you have hypothyroid, it means that the papers are piling up and the secretary is just kind of like, yeah, I don't feel like doing this today. So the work piles up, you know, everything is slowing down, function is getting slower, everyone's just getting lazier, you know, the bills aren't getting paid, the electricity is turning off, water's not coming in. Whereas with hyperthyroid, think about like it's working super fast, which is also pretty harmful for the body because a lot of stuff isn't getting metabolized the way it needs to and properly. So there's other deficiencies that happen. So people often associate being skinny with being healthy, and being fat or I don't want to keep using fat because I don't want people to, you know, start pouring in hate comments, but people associate being overweight with being unhealthy. And that's often not the case. There's a lot of different functions in the body when they're not happening appropriately can slow down that fat burning process. And that can not only be due to your thyroid, it can be due to the other hormones in the body too, because the endocrine system, which is your hormone system, is actually pretty intertwined. So hypothyroid is slow, hyperthyroid is fast metabolism.
You are like really, really early to the YouTube game as well. And you had a lot of content go extremely viral very, very early on. Yeah. And nobody even knew in the family that you were making all this content. Do you want to talk a little bit about this?
I actually have had stage fright my whole life. I've never been the popular kid. I've never really had friends, you know. And often when people hear that, they feel bad for me, but I've always been very comfortable on my own. And when I started exploring being a trainer, I actually wanted to become a yoga instructor. But to become a yoga instructor, you need to stand in front of people and teach them the class. And a lot of my report cards, my teachers growing up were always frustrated because I was never a loud speaker. And so the first time I made a YouTube video, I think it was in 2006 or something. I don't remember. It was on the camera on my MacBook. It was in my bedroom. And it was like how to like a DIY oil treatment for shiny hair or something. I honestly don't remember. And I think that video got, I think now it has several hundred thousand views. And I remember mom watched it and she's like, you're not making eye contact with the camera. You keep looking away. So I was like, okay, I'm going to make another video. And at that time, people weren't making YouTube videos. I didn't want to tell people I was making YouTube videos. And you had to think of a username. So I was like, I don't know what to call myself, but I wanted to be cool. You know, it was like MSN Messenger era where we used dollar signs and numbers and, you know, so I wanted to do something really cool and like quirky. So I put orchids and lime, because orchids are my favorite flower. And I thought orchids and lime would be my version of bittersweet. So it was like this bittersweet. And I think my channel set, like the slogan was a bittersweet embrace of life, orchids and lime. And then I wound up moving quite a bit. I moved to Cardiff to pursue my master's degree, which I didn't complete. And I went back to Ottawa, then I moved to Australia. And it was a lot of things that I went through as a Canadian, who's also obviously Indian. And I met a lot of people who were also struggling. So one day I was just like bored, I guess. So I wound up, after many years, I just reopened my MacBook and I recorded a video called Sharks, Spiders, and something. And it was about how I moved to Australia. And then that video got a lot of traction. And so people started asking questions. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to start answering these questions. And I started making more videos. And it was not with any intention, to be honest. It was just like, I knew what it was like to be extremely frustrated to not have simple answers about What visa do you need? You know, you're literally running around like a headless chicken in the country, trying to find answers. Like, how is it that an educated Canadian is not able to stay in Australia? Like, aren't we all a Commonwealth country? Like, why is this so confusing? So I would find information and then I would share it on YouTube. And then people were like, oh, you're Canadian. How do you move to Canada? So then I started just looking up the same information about Canada and I would share that information. And then it just kind of like took off and I somehow became the Canadian person, like, you know, the person to go to if you're looking to move to Canada. And so I've run into people at the airport, I've run into people in the grocery store who are like, oh, I watched your videos and they actually helped me move to Canada or whatever. So
yeah, and I remember the days when you were like trying to pivot and move your brand from that to where you are today.
Yeah, it was hard. I got like weird death threats. Like I got extremely serious threats from people when I made the announcement on YouTube that I'm no longer going to talk about immigration. You know, people were like, do you realize what a big mistake you're making? You know, like, no. You know, it's like... I considered starting another channel, but I didn't want to. It's like, you know, any company, I am my company on YouTube. So it's like we've decided to change our product and service. But yeah, I got a surprisingly large amount of angry, like extremely angry emails, paragraph after paragraph of like, do you realize here are the statistics of your channel? And look at the statistics, how they've changed. Look at your analytics. Look at how many people have stopped watching your content.
Sometimes the audience gets latched onto that one topic that you talk about and it's so hard for them to see the same creator talk about a different topic because maybe they're not, they no longer want to be talking about that topic.
And to be honest, I feel like I shared all the information I could, whether you are a student looking to move to Canada, you are a young couple who are looking to get married and immigrate to Canada, you want to find a house, you want to get a job, how to write a resume. And for that specific reason, I did consider putting all those videos on private because they're no longer a part of my brand. My only intention with any content I make is to help somebody. That's it. Because I know what it's like to feel lost, but I'm the sort of person who likes answers. Every single time I've gone to a dentist, for instance, I'm like, what are you about to do? Why do you need to do it? What tools are you going to use? How long does it take? Are you going to sedate me? What are you going to use? And often, you know, the dentist would get really frustrated with me and be like, just let me do my job. I will, but I need to know what you're doing. It's in my mouth. Yeah. So I am the sort of person who likes answers. And even when my clients come in to train with me, I will tell them, okay, today we're going to train this and we're going to do this because, and often my clients are like, Shiva, we don't give a fuck. Just tell us what we're doing so we can do it and go home. But I like to be able to answer the question, why? I think that's a really important question that more people need to ask. So, yeah, with the YouTube thing, I feel like I exhausted my resources and it was getting weird. Like people were starting to message me a copy of their resume. I had people's birth certificates and passport copies in my inbox. You know, people were asking me to sponsor them. It was getting really, it was getting weird. And, I'm sure I could have, you know, explored talking about restaurants in Ontario or like, here's a new hotel. Like I could have become that kind of travel influencer, but I just don't care about doing all that stuff. I don't want to do something because it'll give me views.
It's just the kind of person you are. You like doing the research. You like knowing the why behind the why, the what, who, where, when. Yeah. So... And I'm guessing that's basically what led to what you're talking about now.
Yeah, it's just, I just want to, all the information was sharing up until I started talking about hyperthyroidism was information that I needed to have to be able to take care of myself. You know, I want to make sure I'm very happy that I was able to restore my TSH and T4 levels, which are both hormones, right? So TSH is thyroid stimulating hormone, and then T4 is a thyroid hormone. I was able to restore those to great levels. And I don't think my job is done. I think now the goal is, especially as I'm getting older, and as easy it is for a woman to just exist in the world these days, you know, it's forget about it. There's no problems. But women are much more susceptible to so many more issues with their endocrine system compared to men. And every single study I read always talks about how 30 to 40% of the patients that they study are generally, it's more women.
What would be the most common questions that you get from your audience, or based on the research that you've done so far and the learnings and insights that you have, what are the top three things that people should know about their thyroid?
The top three things, I think, honestly, it's people being frustrated that they're not seeing results. That is the most common message I get. You know, hi, I've watched your videos, I've been working out, or I've been eating healthy and I'm not seeing any results, please help. My follow-up question is always, how long have you been disciplined? How long have you been persistent with this? And very rarely, actually, I don't think ever, has anyone responded with more than 3 months. And that's the biggest problem that I get messages about, is that for the people who are doing the thing, they're doing one of the, let's say there's three things you have to do. So the main things are diet, exercise, lifestyle, self-care. These are like the four main things: diet, exercise, lifestyle, self-care. So someone will say, okay, I am eating the right foods. Okay, how long have you been eating the right foods? 2 months. Are you exercising? No, I don't have time. Okay. So often people are providing me with the answers that they're looking for from me. So the biggest, most common frustration that I get DMs about or messages about is, I'm not losing weight, help me. I can't help you. You have to help yourself. I'm giving you all the information that I can, but ultimately you are the one who has to get the gears in motion.
So the first pain point is that people just don't follow the protocol. Actually, why don't we do one thing? Let's share, and this is not, again, medical advice, but based on your personal experience, what's the protocol that you follow that's actually helped you quite a bit?
Number one is your diet. Whether or not you have thyroid issues, whether you're struggling with weight gain, weight loss, your diet is very, very crucial. And honestly, everything is broken down into a simple science. With diet, it's basic math, calorie in versus calorie out, right? Then we have in that calorie in, calorie out, you have macronutrients versus micronutrients. Macronutrients are what? Carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, CPF. Micronutrients are all the vitamins and minerals you can think of under the sun. You need to make sure that your diet provides you with what you need in your macronutrients, but is also providing you with an abundance of the micronutrients. So you can't just be thriving off of boiled chicken and lettuce every single day with a sprinkle of olive oil, because you're like, well, I got the carbohydrate, I got the protein, and I got the fat. Where are the vitamins and minerals? So diet is really, really important, but the diet has to match your lifestyle, your body, your weight, your goal. You could be hypothyroid. You might still be trying to bulk, but you don't want to bulk on fat. You want to put on muscle. So that's where your diet has to match that goal. But with thyroid, additionally, one thing I talk about is there's actual foods you need to avoid that actually harm your thyroid function. They can disrupt your iodine absorption or release. They can disrupt your TSH levels, which is your thyroid stimulating hormone, which is why if you go to my website, I've created the food list for you. You don't have to do the research. I did it for you. And you follow that and you make sure you're trying to eat as little of the foods that are bad for your thyroid. So the first thing is diet. Second thing is exercise. People do not move enough. Most people now work from home, but most people are just at home. Whether they're working or not is a separate issue, but most people are at home and they're sedentary. So sitting is like a punishment for your body, right? And then that exhausts a lot of different systems in your body. It's also not great for your mental health to be sitting. It's not good for your biomechanics, your back injury, your knee injury, your neck injury. So exercise is really crucial. I would say resistance training. So something where you are doing some kind of resistance. It can be your body, weight, whatever, 2 to 3 times a week. And then simple, like very light cardiovascular movement every single day. Go for a damn walk. Walk up and down the stairs. Walk around your house. Then you have lifestyle, which is, you know, alcohol consumption, caffeine consumption, going out and partying, your sleep habits, etc. And then the last thing I would say is your mental health. I always talk about your cortisol and your stress as well. And I always tell people, I can't tell you how to deal with your stress because I don't know your stresses. I don't know your stressors. So find efficient ways to deal with your stress. Find ways to manage your stress. And I know everyone says this to me, it's easier said than done, but it isn't easier said than done because I'm doing it too. It's not easy, but I'm doing it. And not every day is 100% on every single thing, but even if I'm exhausted, I'm tired, it's raining outside, I'll put my shoes on, I'll get my jacket on, and I'll make sure I go for that walk. Once I'm out, it's fine. I'll make sure I go work out. If I have to listen to really angry music to get me into it, if I have to listen to a podcast, if I have to listen to Jocko Willink or David Goggins talk to me for an hour, I'll just do it. But you have to understand you need to do the things if you want the results.
Right. And by the way, I'll link all of this stuff in the show notes. So for the people who are interested in the, you know, the diet, the guide for the diet to have or foods to avoid, I'll link all of that stuff and anything else that we will be talking about in this episode in the show notes. So go at it. Okay. So helpful to understand that sort of this has been your own personal pain point and challenge, and you've been trying to solve it for yourself. And then just because, and because you're the kind of person who likes to do the research and likes sharing, you've been finding success also on social media with this content. And then after that, we've covered what are the 4 key things to watch out for and where people mostly fail and fall behind and then don't get the results. It will also be helpful to look at kind of what I've also been going through and doing, and because you're kind of also aware of my blood reports, you're aware of all the stuff that I'm doing and taking. And for example, I've just turned 40. I'm going to be 40 this year. But what happened is that post-pandemic, post-COVID, I was feeling like very lethargic, brain fog, and I was low energy. And after eating a meal, even if I ate 4 boiled eggs, I would just be like in a food coma. So I, after like 6-7, like actually more than a year, after being frustrated with that physical and mental state, because I couldn't function properly, I decided to do something about it. And I got on to I went for a blood test, found out my TRT is very low, at I think the 300 mark. So now I'm on HCG, TRT. I'm also doing NAD and NMN therapy. I'm also taking a whole bunch of supplements. And I'm also working out. I've also cleaned up my diet, eating a lot of, and we'll talk about that in a second. and I feel like a completely different person.
Yeah.
But it's taken time. Like, it took me about 3 to 4 months to ramp up to get to a point where everything is sort of dialed in to a point where, like, okay, I'm eating all my supplements at the right time. I'm eating the right food. I'm exercising with a game plan. But I can't even recognize the person I was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So do you want to throw a little bit of light on sort of what you know about my, like, based on the reports you've seen and sort of because you advised me on a lot of the stuff?
This is kind of where people have to understand that the whole body is so intertwined. You know, people look at one issue with their body and then they try and isolate it and then they want to solve that one problem. But the body is such an interconnected structure. With you, a lot of the things you were experiencing, I think a lot of people were probably who are watching this might resonate with the brain fog and the exhaustion. So I, like, again, I'm not a clinician. I wouldn't tell everyone to go on TRT to solve that problem. It's really important. One of the very, very crucial things I tell every single person to do is get a full blood panel done at least once a year. It's really important that you also learn how to read and understand that blood test. With you, a lot of the symptoms you were talking about, a lot of the things you were talking about to me did signal some kind of endocrine-based imbalance. And now one of the doctors that you're talking to has also talked to you about your thyroid health, right? He said that he wants to look into thyroid supplementation. And you are taking L-tyrosine.
Yeah, basically, I'm going to be microdosing with thyroid support.
Because your TSH levels were slightly high, which is something I remember seeing in your last blood test. And, you know, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, cortisol, thyroid hormones, all of these are actually a part of the same system. And the thing is, the testosterone could be low because of a number of reasons. One thing I would recommend is that I notice with the younger generation, especially with men, TRT is becoming a really, really common thing. And that's fine, but you should only be taking TRT if your body is in need of it. And one thing that I really like that you did is you actually went through the appropriate sources to get it. You know, there is a lot of stuff available just in the hands of people who work out now, not even through actual clinicians or doctors. It is really important to get your blood work done to make sure your body is running properly. And if you are a younger man or woman watching this, I would recommend that it's really important to pay attention to your symptoms. It's important to pay attention to your stressors as well before you decide to go on any external supplement, therapy, etc. If you can solve the problem with the resources you have available to you already, i.e. diet, exercise, supplements that you might already have available to you, it could just be like basic vitamins and minerals or whatever. But in your case, there was so much going on. Your recovery level was so slow. You were constantly lethargic. There was a lot of also like weight gain around the abdomen, which can also be an indicator of high estrogen or cortisol in the body. And so these are reasons why we wanted you to go and look at getting your hormone levels checked out. And it's great, right? The thing now is it's only been 3 months and you're starting to notice the difference. Now, when you start piling on the other things that I was talking about, i.e. exercise, your diet, your daily intake, your lifestyle balance, you will notice more and more changes. Just taking the TRT is not just the solution.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Again, this is not medical advice or we're telling you to do TRT. In fact, we're just sharing our personal experiences with what we were experiencing and how we approached it and tackled it. Now, when I did my own research, it was like, you know, if you're like in your 20s, don't even look at TRT. I'm 40 years old. And so at this point, this is probably the right time to consider it. If you're feeling all the things that kind of what I was feeling. But yeah, so I don't even like, because I was feeling those symptoms on such a regular, on a daily basis, I felt like that's my new normal. And I had to just accept that I'm going to be like lethargic, lazy, low energy, brain fog. Like my emotional regulation was completely off. But now I have so much more clarity, focus. My recovery is really fast and good. I actually feel really good lifting the weights.
Actually, I was looking at one of your old, I think it's a TikTok video. I can't remember. And if you look at it, your size has changed quite a bit. And that is, you know, it's most likely due to the TRT. So like you've gotten a little bit broader in the shoulders. And so you will notice now, not only will you be able to lift more weight more easily, but you will recover a lot faster. And this is also why a lot of young athletes go on anabolics, because it increases, it reduces their recovery time. So it increases the intensity with which they can train at a higher intensity more frequently.
For the people listening, I'm actually going through two different clinics. Actually, there's three clinics involved. And then I also have you kind of supervise and oversee the whole thing of like, because you know all the reports. But I'm talking to one is just a specific TRT clinic. And then the second one is a naturopath where I go for IV therapy. And I get NAD, glutathione, B complex, all that stuff injected once a month. And I feel even like my metabolic rate, digestion, and then consistency of energy throughout the day is like...
Like, again, I have to be careful when you talk online, because people do have a tendency sometimes to pick out a specific thing you say, and then they'll kind of just keep cycling back to that. But hormones do play a very big role in our energy and mood, because that's right, where it's based.
So you also had me start looking at supplementation. And so there's things I take before my workout and then before I sleep. Again, the only reason we're talking about all this is that you should go out and do your own research. Go get a blood report done. Yes. Go talk to a naturopath, a doctor.
Yes.
And then based on what is deficiency in your body, supplement for that. Don't just willy-nilly start doing things that you're hearing in this conversation.
Yeah. Not every single supplement you will hear. And again, even if you watch my content where I talk about, I've tried to make a separate video about every single vitamin, each mineral. And it's really important that people understand that you do not need to take every single thing you hear about. And the thing is now especially with TikTok, is that people with no credibility are giving other people information. And because people want answers, a lot of people are latching on to a specific supplement, you know, or specific medication. For example, now Ozempic is the thing. Everyone's talking about Ozempic, because it's a weight loss supplement. But then you talk to people and you say, hey, have you tried actually, you know, looking at your diet and exercising regularly? And they'll say, oh, I don't have time for that. You know, so not every single person needs to take everything. You should only be supplementing a supplement when you're not getting it through your diet. If you are able to get your daily intake of protein in your diet, you don't need to supplement it with protein. You don't need the protein powder if you can get it through your diet, right? That's where vitamins and minerals come in. If you actually have the deficiency and the deficiency is so low that you're not able to replenish it through food, that's when you get the supplement. And make sure also, I want to say, please don't buy supplements from shitty brands. Please do not cheap out on supplements. Make sure you're buying quality stuff.
And by the way, we're not affiliated with any of the names or anything.
No.
You know, and we have not even actually taken any specific names.
No.
So, and I think we can just refrain from taking any specific names and just focus on the actual salt. So the ones that I'm taking now, you want to talk a little bit about that just to kind of...
You are on vitamin C, vitamin B, and tyrosine. And quercetin.
When I wake up, I do athletic greens.
Yeah.
Again, not affiliated. I just happen to take the green powder.
We're open to affiliation.
And people are like, I've heard a lot of people online be like, oh, do you feel any difference? What I've personally noticed, and I'm not affiliated, is it really helps with my digestion. And
there's a lot of fiber in there. There's a lot of probiotics in athletic greens. I have taken athletic greens. I don't take it at the moment. I take another green powder. But again, I think I'm sure I can learn more, but I think I'm educated enough to be able to find the right green powder that's suited for my needs. So I am taking a different green powder at the moment. I've tried quite a few, but athletic greens is also great.
That's the first thing I do. Second is I'll basically, you know, fast till like 1-2 o'clock. And then I go to the gym around 12. And right before the gym, I have the B complex, the quercetin, the C complex. Is it
vitamin C?
Vitamin C. And then I also do tyrosine. And then I also do my NAD, which is sublingual under the tongue, right before the workout. And then I'll sometimes eat like a protein bar.
Like an RX bar.
Yeah.
So vitamin B has... vitamin B and vitamin C are actually also linked to a deficiency or anemia, which is very interesting for women, but also they're great supplements also for exercise as well as mood regulation and fatigue. Vitamin C is actually also a great source of collagen, which is also why it's a good supplement to take for your muscles as well. Vitamin C and vitamin B are both water-soluble vitamins. Tyrosine is an amino acid, and that's something I started studying more with the thyroid function, and it can actually help with your thyroid hormone. The thing with tyrosine is that when there is a lot of stress on the body, it actually lowers your tyrosine levels, which is why supplementing it when you have a thyroid condition can be good. It can also actually help with depression and mood elevation. So it's really good to take before exercise because it can also help with focus. And then we take quercetin, which is great for your histamine levels. If you have a lot of sensitivities, allergies, and stuff like that, I take quercetin every single day with vitamin C in my stack in the afternoon. And I have noticed quite a drastic change in my overall allergies. I used to sneeze every single day. Every morning I would wake up. And I mean, again, there's a lot of things that have changed in my lifestyle and diet over the last few years, so I can't say it's one specific thing, but quercetin is really good for your immune system as well as for your histamine levels.
Wait, I think you just mentioned that tyrosine can also help with depression. So when you were experiencing depression early on,
yeah,
how much was that to do with the thyroid?
A lot of it, actually. That's the thing, because I personally didn't feel like I had a reason to feel depressed, and that was always my thing. It was like this heaviness I felt in my body, and I didn't understand why. And one of the things I talked about in one of my videos was that I thought the heaviness was because of the physical heaviness of my body. Because I was like physically bigger, I thought all the heaviness, whether it was mental, emotional, the sluggish feeling, all of it had to do with the weight. I didn't think of it in the sense of like I'm depressed. I just found like I was really struggling to feel happy, and I didn't understand why. And there is actual clinical studies that have indicated that patients who have hypothyroidism can have symptoms of depression, and that is because there is so many micronutrient deficiencies that are happening in the body, and because the thyroid works very closely with our nervous system, and our nervous system can control our emotions and our, you know, feelings and all that sort of stuff. That was probably why, because I didn't have anything happening in my life where I was depressed. I've always, always considered myself a half glass full person. I don't really dwell in sadness. It's just not my personality. So having that constant, like, down, heavy feeling felt very alien to me. And that's something I say too, that when your body, or when you start feeling like unfamiliar in your own body, that's a big indicator that you need to go get your stuff checked out. And these are things that I started to learn the more I started to learn about the thyroid. I didn't know about all of these symptoms. I didn't know that the thyroid influences your mood. I didn't know it affects your hair. I didn't know it affects all this other stuff. I thought I just, if you gain weight, thyroid. Lose weight, thyroid. That's it. I didn't think about it in any other way. And yeah. And so when I started understanding it, that's when I started taking the supplements. I didn't just go buy a whole stack of stuff. I started looking at the symptoms. I started looking at my blood work. And then I made a lot of notes. I'm always writing. I'm one of those people. So I would constantly write out the way I was feeling, you know, what I'm experiencing. And then I'd be like, okay, let's see where the deficiencies are in my blood work. But tyrosine isn't something they can check in your blood work, but I'm like, it's an amino acid. Let's try it out.
So that explains why basically I take it before a workout. So because mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing some stressful, like putting stress on the body.
Yes.
It's there to cover that gap.
Yes. Increase in exercise can actually increase your body's requirement for quite a few vitamins and minerals. And this actually also includes iron. So if you exercise a lot, there's a probability that you might have low iron levels, especially as a woman. And that is why you need to consider supplementing with iron or taking iron-rich foods. Because when your body is exercising, it depletes a lot of your resources. So you need to replenish them.
And then for the evening time, so we covered like what we do basically in the morning protocol. And then in the evenings, I basically, before sleeping, I take a zinc, a magnesium, and I take, vitamin K2 and D3.
Yeah.
And the omega fish oil, which just finished. I have to buy a new set.
I haven't actually started talking about omega-3 with thyroid function just as yet. But omegas are great for so many metabolic processes in the body. It's good for your brain health. It's good for your skin, your hair. It's good for a lot of neurological functions. There's so much science in why you need to take omega-3. If you are a vegan watching this video, then consider taking omega-3 in vegan form. You can get it. You can get the pills. Magnesium and zinc are both great recovery supplements. They're also great for your immune system. They're great for if you have issues where you have, again, fatigue, muscle cramps, you experience tingling in your hands and feet. Magnesium can really help with that. Another thing I want to say is that a lot of supplements, magnesium and zinc included, can come in a lot of different types of forms. So magnesium comes in malate, citrate, bisglycinate, etc. And so the form of magnesium you take really depends on you as a person. With you, you're taking bisglycinate, which is absorbed better into the body. But for some people, they experience that they don't do well with bisglycinate. They might take malate. Someone who has fibromyalgia might take magnesium malate as well. Even your zinc is bisglycinate as well. So the form of supplement you take will also really influence the quality of that supplement as well. And then vitamin D is really good, especially in Canada. We need it. It's very crucial. We don't get a lot of sun. And vitamin D is really good for bone mineralization, Vitamin D is really good for bone mineral metabolism. Essentially, it helps the minerals bind better to the bone. So it's good to take it, and it's a fat-soluble vitamin. And so vitamin K helps with vitamin D absorption. Vitamin D helps with mineral absorption. So they all work together.
You know, as a person who's never done any of this and you hear it for the first time, it's like, it seems like so many things are happening. How do you even keep track? It seems almost like you get a paralysis. Because I know the first time I heard somebody talking about all this stuff, I was like, oh my.
It's overwhelming.
I'm like, how do you keep track? Like, how do you buy all this stuff? And it's just like, you're like, I don't want to even do this. But you have to kind of look at it, like chip away at it, like one thing at a time, because
yes,
because one is like you start taking supplements, then it's like, you know, hormone replacement, then it's like IV therapy, then it's like working out, then it's diet.
But this is why professionals exist in each of the disciplines. You know, people will often cheap out, for example, on seeing a naturopath, or they will not want to pay for a quality trainer. I always tell people, if you don't want to pay for a trainer, you can go to a bookstore. I mean, it's probably outdated advice. Now you can go on TikTok and find exercises for free. That's not the problem. There is an abundance of exercises out there in the world. There's an abundance of vitamins and minerals you can go and buy at the health food store. You need to make sure that the things you are doing and taking are right for you. This is where a professional does their job. A good professional. So when you have a trainer, and if you have a thyroid condition, you need to communicate that to your trainer, because when you have hypothyroidism, you cannot raise your stress levels because your cortisol levels are already probably really high. So your training style cannot increase your stress levels even more. So your training style needs to be more at a low stress, low intensity style. But it needs to make sure that you're still moving. There's a lot of, like, you know, muscle engagement, lymphatic circulation, etc. Same thing with supplements. Don't get overwhelmed. Start with step one. Go get your blood work done. Then sit down with your doctor or your naturopath. If you have to pay the $200 at a naturopath, just do it. You know, maybe shop less on Amazon that 1 month and sit down with your naturopath and say, okay, where are my deficiencies? What supplements do I need to take? And then start with that. You know, start with your diet. Then go talk to an actual trainer. Say, hey, listen, my budget is $200 a month, but I have a thyroid problem. I need to get in shape. What can I do? Maybe that trainer can write you a program. But then that means you have to take the accountability. Or maybe you can join a group class. You bring a friend with you so the training becomes more affordable. Then you do that. You have to go one step at a time. It's not like in one day you're going to solve all of your problems. Start with one thing, right? Maintain that discipline. Persistence and discipline are really important. Then the next thing, start exercising, add that into the mix, and then make sure you prioritize those things. Don't start skipping out on those things because you want to go party. Then make sure you're eating the right foods. So one thing at a time, but know why you're doing it. Don't get frustrated with it. If you know you're doing it for yourself, you'll want to do it. Imagine if you have a partner that you love dearly who's struggling with their weight or thyroid issues. You will do everything possible to support them. Treat yourself as that partner. You know, you're so much more accommodating with other people than you are with yourself. You have to bring in that accommodation to your own lifestyle. One step at a time.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. I think the patience part and then stacking these different protocols and things with time.
Yeah.
It makes it so much more easier. You don't need to have everything figured out on day one.
You don't. And you don't even need to do all the things. Maybe you're not taking all of the supplements. Maybe you are still eating some of the wrong foods. I tell people it took me 2016 to now. I only restored my thyroid levels last year. And I still feel like I'm, you know, now people ask me, what are you training for? I'm not training for anything anymore. I just want to be the healthiest version of myself. I feel like I lost my entire 30s trying to figure out what the hell was going on with my body in and out. So it's not like you will do it and then the problem will be solved and you can just wipe your hands clean. This is going to be an ongoing thing in your life.
Yeah. Totally. In fact, the protocols and everything that I'm doing now, these are for life.
Yeah.
I keep thinking that, you know, I don't want to be like whimpering out, like my whole frame shrinks and I'm just like, I can barely move in my late like 60s or whatever. I'd rather start building that base now. Just short of taking ice baths and sauna now.
This is going to be a really controversial statement, but this is why I find the word diets don't work. Because people will go on keto, for example, and they'll lose 50 pounds. And then what do people do? They get excited because they've hit their goal weight. And then they go celebrate. And then they start relaxing because they're like, well, like I've lost the weight. I look good now. Let's just go out to a nice restaurant. Let's go out. And then the weight starts piling on. It takes a lot longer to lose the weight than it does to gain the weight. And so that temporary goal setting and then that wanting to get to that goal as fast as possible, you can lose a bunch of weight just on water weight. You know, just if you've ever heard of a water cut, you can do a water cut and cut like 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds, depending on your original body weight. But that's temporary. If you want long-term results, you have to have a long-term approach.
All right. Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground. Why don't we also take a moment and also discuss the downside if you don't get the right medical advice and you start doing TRT willy-nilly and because it can seem cool, like, oh, I'm doing TRT, whatever, right? So what are some of the downsides and risks involved? I can also share some as well.
There's quite a lot of risks involved if you are taking any hormone that hasn't been properly prescribed to you, especially if they haven't checked your hormone levels already. This is definitely not my field of expertise, but this is something that I've also seen with my female clients who are on birth control, which is also a hormone. And then they end up experiencing a lot of side effects with it. Whether you are taking TRT or any other anabolic, which will influence your testosterone as a man, there's going to be quite a few side effects to that. It can affect your hair growth. It can affect your overall like aging. You'll notice that if you've ever met any athlete or man who's on testosterone at a young age, they will often look 10, 20 years older, you know? It can affect, obviously, your fertility as well. The other thing to remember, this is a big, big warning. When you are taking any hormone, whether it's thyroid, testosterone, birth control, it has to be taken at the exact same time every single day. This is a very, very crucial thing because the body is working like a computer. So the body's automated to have a hormone release at a specific time, which is also why, for example, melatonin, like your sleep hormone, all these kind of things are influenced when you are on a shift routine, nurses, doctors, etc., because our bodies are sort of created to release specific hormones at specific times of day. So when you are taking the TRT shots, I'm sure your doctor said this to you as well, it's very important you take it at the same time every day, because if you don't, it can throw your body out of whack as well. Now, also testosterone, excess testosterone is also linked with aggression. And so while, you know, a certain level of testosterone can help make us much more logical, it can make us much more rational, we become much more clearer in our thought process, too much testosterone can also make someone aggressive. And this is also why, which you probably do, you go back and they check your testosterone levels every few weeks or months just to make sure that the dose you're on is right for you. Now, there could be two men, both of whom are 200 pounds. They're both 5'7". They both have the same body type, but they might actually respond to the same dose of TRT extremely differently. So this is where the doctor should be assessing that and if they need to either increase the dose or reduce it based on how your body's responding. Lastly, I also want to mention too much rise in testosterone can also raise your estrogen levels, which is why guys often end up with gyno, which is they end up with the boobs. There's also like balding. As well as other issues that could be related to elevated levels of estrogen in the body.
In fact, I take one of those estrogen blockers or something.
Yeah, yeah, that little pill.
Yeah, I eat like a really small pill once a week. Yes. And the protocol that I'm doing is I do HCG and TRT twice a week and very low dosages. Again, just to kind of help sustain and maintain.
That's good.
A healthy level.
There's a guy on TikTok, Kenny Koo, I think that's his name. And he openly goes and talks to people about what kind of dose they're on, how much amount. And a lot of people don't talk about it. And I think this is something that we really need to move past. I think, if anything, we need to have a more open dialogue, both men and women, of any anabolic you're on. Because this also opens the conversation of issues that you're having, you know, ways in which it has improved your quality of life, but other symptoms or drawbacks you might be experiencing. There's actually not a lot of study when it comes to, for example, women on anabolics over the years. There's now starting to become more of a dialogue with men, but there isn't as much study with women.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. By the way, do women also take TRT?
Women don't take TRT that I know of, but women can take other anabolics or essentially they can take other drugs to help increase their testosterone levels. And that can have pretty detrimental side effects for women.
Right. Because I think, I don't know why I saw this somewhere that, or I heard this, that even women take TRT. Not like the weightlifters and stuff, but it can be also good for them as well.
I'm sure. This is not something that I have any knowledge base in. I do know of female athletes who take anabolics. Again, they take it. Again, it's mostly athletes who take it to help improve their recovery so they can train at a higher intensity more frequently. They can lift more because some sports, you know, they get pretty competitive. And so already there's like an underlying expectation that if you are entering the sport, you will be on anabolics.
Okay. So I think I just wanted to, again, just for the audience, share that even I'm somebody, you know, I'm not trying to be like a bodybuilder or anything. I just want to be in good mental and physical health and have enough energy throughout the day to be able to not only do the work that I need to do, have clarity, but also be able to enjoy an active lifestyle. So again, I just wanted to share with the audience, you know, I'm not hiding anything.
There's one thing I want to say. When it comes to just science, biology in general, depending on when you watch this video, there might be things that we say today that might be proven wrong even in a year from now. And so the human body is constantly being studied. There are things that I learned, for example, in exercise science and mechanics when I first became a trainer that are actually no longer true or not as valid. With any of the stuff that we're talking about today, this is based on the things we know now. There might be more information, education, research that comes out even in 3 months from now that might discredit some of the stuff we're saying. And that is something that you have to bear in mind, especially when you watch online content. When you watch something maybe that was recorded 5 years ago or 2 years ago, it may no longer be true when you watch it. So it's also really important where doing your own research is very, very important.
And the only other final thing is that from my standpoint, I'm actually going to be exploring, I'm at the very early stage of exploring the idea of peptides for some specific injuries and stuff. Okay, so why don't we circle back now to the conversation sort of where we started and where we sort of departed off and we started, you know, getting into the my personal journey as well, but we can talk a little bit about thyroid and what are the kind of things that you're studying today, these days? What are you focusing on? Where are you doing deep dives?
The interesting thing is I find my audience is really driving my education. And, you know, originally I was studying hypothyroidism with, you know, this very tunnel vision because I wanted to learn it for myself. And I don't feel like I'm done studying hypothyroidism. I don't think I'm done trying to understand the endocrine system, the human body, the things it undergoes when the thyroid is not working. But people are beginning to ask me questions that are also really starting to, you know, it's starting to intrigue my own curiosity. So currently I'm also trying to really understand, for example, PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, which women are also susceptible to when being diagnosed with hypothyroidism. So if you're a woman watching this, you've been diagnosed with hypothyroidism, chances are the doctor has probably also spoken to you, or you may have been diagnosed with PCOS as well, and hyperthyroidism. The other thing that I also really want to try and understand, which I'm really struggling to find information about, is patients who no longer have a thyroid, such as dad. So what is happening in the body when the thyroid is removed? Of course, you are taking the hormone orally. You know, as you know, what happens is when there isn't enough of the hormone in the body, we substitute it with taking it externally, either orally or intravenously. We inject it. So I'm trying to really understand what is happening both with and without the thyroid, and where that takes me is really up to where the audience's curiosities and questions come from.
So if we were to sort of, let's say, distill down this conversation from a thyroid perspective, or maybe thyroid being sort of the primary element and general health being the secondary, what would be your top three pieces of advice for people listening then?
The most important thing is pay attention to your body and listen to it. Anytime your body begins to show signs outside of what is normal to you, do not ignore it. And this is where, you know, as a trainer, I've trained very different kinds of clients. I've trained people who've had cancer, who've had various kinds of surgeries, neurological disorders, etc. And very often the conversation is, I had these symptoms for a long time, but I didn't know what was going on. Did you talk to a doctor? No, I just thought it was this. Anytime there's something going on that's out of your own understanding, nag a doctor, you know, demand answers. If you have to go see more than one, just make the time and do it. Demand answers because you have a right to them. Secondly, this is also very crucial. All of these things are very crucial, is to make sure you are getting your blood work done. And people always ask me, what blood test is it? It's a full blood test. Whether you have to pay for it, again, please don't cheap out with time or money when it comes to your body. Get a blood work, get a full blood panel done. Go see a naturopath, go talk to your GP, doesn't matter who you have to go to, where they can test for deficiency in various micronutrients, your hormones, etc. The more answers you get, the better. Because that is really the, you know, the map in the treasure chest, if you will. You know, it's like if you're looking for X on the map of the treasure, it's your blood test. That really has all the solutions you need and has the wealth of knowledge that you require to be healthy. I think the third thing is to really take care of your emotional well-being. This is something that is very, very intertwined to a lot of different functions in your body. You know, I started studying cortisol, like stress in the body, and it is connected to so many health problems. And lowering your cortisol doesn't mean masking your stress. You can't smile and act like everything is okay. Your body doesn't understand these external things. Your body doesn't understand that you're smiling. Oh, okay, we need to lower our cortisol. You need to actually figure out ways to calm yourself internally. that is what's going to help your cortisol. Also, your diet also plays a role. If you're eating a lot of processed foods, you're going to McDonald's every day, that's also not going to help your stress levels. So as a wider lens, just do your level best to take care of your emotional and mental well-being from the inside. You know, if you're in a toxic relationship, you're in a toxic work environment, you have toxic friends, you need to be the one who makes the decision. And you have to be the one who also realizes that you're putting yourself in that situation and figure out a way to pull yourself away from those toxic elements, food, people, diet, lifestyle, environment, and put yourself in healthier places in every way.
I've been also kind of trying to follow that advice and really pay attention to all these different elements and things. I'm definitely seeing really good positive results, especially the early results that I'm getting. Okay. So why don't we... Oh, actually, there's this one fun activity that I like to do with all my guests. Let me just quickly grab that book over there. Just give me 1 second. So this book, I always forget to keep it right next to me when I'm recording a podcast. But here we go. So the activity is pretty obvious. You have to pick a number between 1 and 3001.
1313.
Found it. Okay. When I see the color red, what do I think about?
Blood.
Okay. That's your answer. This has been a fun podcast. At least we've covered a high level of not only thinking about health and wellness, but also thinking about thyroid specifically, and then also thinking about supplementing for deficiency, and also seeking the right medical advice. And then I'm just going to say, for the sake of repeating this again and again, is that none of this was medical advice. We were just sharing our personal journeys. We're not backed or affiliated by any of the products or things that we talked about. I would just highly recommend that you do your own research. Now, are there any final words that you'd like to share? Number one, and number two, where can people find you if they want to learn more about thyroid health, wellness, and maybe even training?
I am actually XShibaX across all platforms. So YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, all the things that exist. I'm XShibaX everywhere. So you are welcome to reach out to me. You can watch all my content. My website is shiba.coach if you want to get the ebooks. But for anyone who is also just in need of a conversation or you need answers, I would really recommend checking out my content. And if you still don't find the answers there, you can always send me a message or leave a comment on one of my videos. I do try and respond to every single comment everywhere. And yeah, whether it's training related, thyroid related, doesn't matter. I'm happy to help.
Okay. Amazing. This was a lot of fun. We should go get some food.
Yes.
Okay, folks. Bye.